Since 1985, the prestigious Telluride Bluegrass Band Contest has spotlighted standout emerging talent from across the country, with past winners, now renowned acts like the Dixie Chicks, or just the Chicks as they're calling themselves, also Little Smokies, Green Scribe Bluegrass, Troutsteak Revival, and Ryan Shook and the Rubber Band, among many others. The contest consists of two rounds, three-song performance, with 12 bands narrowed to four. Those four perform on the main stage. Winners earn then the opportunity to stand on the iconic main stage in future year, where legendary artists such as Johnny Cash, Elvis Costello, Emmylou Harris, Billy Strings, and Chris Thiele have played with Sam Bush and his legendary bluegrass house band. So when Rachel Sumner's Traveling Light won the band contest in 2025, they didn't just collect a trophy. They stepped into a legendary and enviable lineage and near guarantee of future success. The lyric forward bluegrass trio of Rachel Sumner with Cat Wallace on fiddles and vocals and Mike Siegel on upright bass and vocals is scheduled to encore on the main stage of the Telluride Bluegrass Festival on Saturday, June 20th. This is Susan V. Brock, Telluride Inside Now. I'm delighted to be speaking with Rachel Sumner about Traveling Light and her life and work. Rachel, thanks so much for joining me.
Thank you for having me.
So please talk about how and when and why you put together your trio, Traveling Light. How did you meet Kate Wallace, Mike Siegel, and how does Club Pasteem, one of the most legendary folk venues in the country, play into your story?
Well, Traveling Light came together. Our very first rehearsal was July 1st, 2021. Venues had just recently started opening up, and Club Pasteem was the very first venue that we ever played together as a band. I had spent about 6 years with the band Twisted Pine, the bluegrass band I helped co-found and I wrote for previous to the lockdown era. And just before that, I had left. I'd parted ways to focus on my own solo career. So during the lockdown, it gave me a lot of time to work on songs, do some recording, and I had found myself with a collection of very personal songs that I wanted to translate to the stage. So when venues started opening up, Club Pasteem gave me a show, and I thought, well, I ought to get a band for this. And I called a dear friend of mine, Mike Siegel. We had been playing together in various local bands throughout my time in Boston. I called him up, and I called up Kat Wallace, who I had only seen on Instagram. She was just so virtuosic in so many different genres, though. And I asked them, would you guys perform with me at Pasteem? And we came up with the name Traveling Light. And the rest is history. Now we've been playing and touring nationally ever since. So Pasteem is very important to us, not only because I've been working there for the past 10 years, but it's been a very important trial grounds for us. You know, I've learned so much. I've watched so many other artists perform there.
Well put, and thank you for that answer. You've described your trio sound as Femmericana, which is a great
Americana.
Coinage. Right. So that's a great coinage, but do you ever worry that handle could become a kind of closed box from which you can't escape?
I think of it more as a lens and less as a genre, I guess. The music lives in the world of folk and bluegrass and Americana and country music, and the lens is always, because I'm writing from it, it's always got a feminine focus to it. And so I'm not as worried about it being a box, because women have been present in every part of history, and you know, there's an endless well of stories to tap from, not just my own. So it really, the term was a playful way of naming something that was already happening naturally in my writing. So I'm not too worried.
Wonderful. Your Radium Girls is arguably the song that made the wider world pay attention to Traveling Light. In fact, some have even tattooed the song's lyrics onto their skin. So how do you feel about that? Did the reach of that song about a true, terrible piece of American history change how you approach subjects in your writing?
It's still really surreal to me how people have reacted to the Radium Girls song. I definitely did not expect such a, it's a dense story. It's very sad and it's about 6 minutes long. And I didn't expect people in this day and age of social media to have the attention span for it, I guess. But they proved me wrong. Everyone proved me wrong. It really found its right audience. And I can't believe the ways that it's been incorporated into people's lives, incorporated into the theater. There's so many community theaters are using it as part of their production of D.W. Gregory's Radium Girls play now. And it's incredibly moving. I think that I do have this little voice in my mind that I've always been a big fan of Josh Ritter and his story songs. And as a fan of Josh Ritter, I have always enjoyed that he revisits his ability to weave a story, whether it's historical or whether it's not. You know, I always enjoy that he visits that realm every now and then, but I also enjoy his other work. And so I try to keep that in mind as a writer, as the writer in this situation, that, you know, hopefully people will enjoy the other avenues of my curiosity and where that brings me and what songs that generates. So I try not to worry too much, and I do like to revisit the story songwriting. In fact, on the EP that we're releasing the day before our main stage Telluride set, that will have another historical story song on it. And this one is about rodeo cowboys in Boston, Massachusetts in 1936 going on strike. So it's less sad and more whimsical, but definitely has a bit of a social justice element to it that I hope people enjoy.
Wonderful. Thank you for that. Can we get now a bit personal? Online sources say music was important to your family and fueled your passion for sounds from the get-go, even before you had any formal training or an instrument of your own. And then, as a fourth grader, you found the flute. What came next?
Well, music was always on in my house. My mom played a lot of folk music. She named me after James Taylor. My middle name is Taylor. She always said, "That's your real father." So music was kind of our happy place. Childhood was quite difficult. My mom was a single mom raising three kids, and music was always the retreat that we went to, and that was where the most happiness could be found. And I ended up becoming obsessed with Nickel Creek and Alison Krauss because my deadhead loving uncle, my Uncle Don, gave me two CDs. He gave me a Nickel Creek CD and a Alison Krauss CD. And I just went from there, just learning more about bluegrass. I learned more about country music. And then when I was 16, I went to Largo in L.A., which is a fabulous venue that the Watkins Family Hour plays, Punch Brothers play. And I got to see Nickel Creek reunite unofficially. And that was where I met so many of my friends, people that I've been in bands with. And they told me, go to Boston. Boston has a great music scene. If you like this music, you'd love it in Boston. So I ended up going to Boston to go to school at Berklee, still as a flute player because I hadn't picked up guitar yet. But while I was there, I fell into the roots music scene because there's a fabulous roots music course at Berklee. And so Molly Tuttle was my peer, and she taught me how to harmony sing, and Maddie Whitler taught me how to play guitar, and pretty soon I was writing songs and learning about Hazel and Alice and Bill Monroe, and it just became my whole world. I had my sights set on becoming an orchestrator for film scores, but I kind of got disillusioned once I explored that world a little bit more. It seemed like it was really hard to be a woman in that industry, and I decided that wasn't for me. I somebody can do the hard work. I didn't want to do that hard work of cutting through, and that my heart was really just in the folk music that I was learning and writing, and that became my path ever since.
Okay, thank you for that. I understand you coach artists on how to build sustainable music careers while you're still navigating your own. What's the hardest truth you tell your students that you've also had to tell yourself?
I think the hardest truth that I tell students that I recently dawned on me was that they're the best advocate that their art will ever have. For a long time, I thought, you know, I kept the door open for somebody else to come in and manage me or present me, or a label, a record label, or somebody to open some kind of door. And I realized that I have all the tools that I need and all of the drive that I need to really make this happen. And it was actually freeing. It wasn't a hard truth. It was a freeing truth. And that realization changed everything for me. And so I try to pass that realization on to everybody else. And just, you know, in this day and age, you have everything that you need. You just need to figure it out and make the time for yourself and fight for your art.
Terrific. Thank you for that one. Let's back up a bit and talk about your history with the Telluride Bluegrass Festival, from volunteer at age 18 to band contest champion.
Yeah, so I remember coming to Telluride in 2011. That was my first year, and I was 18 years old. I didn't have money, so I volunteered. I was assigned compost, and I had the best time. I got to say, Telluride takes care of their volunteers. All the Festivarians, they really took care of me, and they really appreciated the work I was doing as a composter, you know, making sure the compost was kept clean. And
right.
It was so much fun. I remember it was snowing during the Punch Brothers set, and I had a shift right in the main festival grounds, and I was just standing on top of the compost bin and dancing in the snow. And that was very, like, visceral memory to me. And at the time, I didn't play guitar, so I never, ever, ever would have imagined myself being on that stage. So if I could go back and tell 18-year-old Rachel, hey, you're going to be on that stage playing your own songs that you're writing, she would flip. Telluride is such a magical place. I just remember being so moved by the music. Even though I couldn't really make that kind of music on my own, it was really important to me, and it was definitely one of the catalysts for me making my own music in this realm. So it's I can't tell you what it means to me to be scheduled to play at this festival. It is the festival in my mind of all festivals. So
many, many musicians have told me the same.
Yeah.
So now, you know, as the band contest winner returning in victory, does the 2026 main stage gigs feel like a victory lap, or does it raise the stakes even higher, or both?
I think a little bit of both. We're all bringing our spouses, and so in that way, and our families too, and so in that way, it feels like a victory lap. We get to celebrate with our family and friends the entire weekend and just be there and not be so nervous. Last year, we were all a bundle of nerves because of the contest. So this time it feels like there will be less pressure in that way. However, it does feel like the stakes are higher because now we get to present our music unedited. We don't have to make it shorter for the band contest. We can just share who we are and the songs that we have with everybody. I'm very excited to play Radium Girls on that stage and show everybody that. But I'm also very excited to, you know, meet other artists and collaborate with them. We've been asked to arrange a finale for the Elks Park stage on Sunday, and that's going to be like a collaborative set that we're calling Rachel Sumner and Traveling Lights Samaricana Review. And so I've been in contact with a lot of really amazing femme artists to guest on that. I can't say who's going to be involved in that yet, but just the idea of creating this collaborative set that is so femme focused, that's very exciting to me, and I hope that other people find our music and you know, we find our people there, and we find the folks that enjoy what we do. I cannot wait.
I think that's an amen. This has been Susan D. Brock, Telluride Inside and Out. I've been speaking with Rachel Sumner of Traveling Light about her life and work and her upcoming encore at the 52nd Annual Telluride Bluegrass Festival. Her group, Traveling Light, performs on June 20th. Rachel, thanks so much for making the time to talk with me.
Thank you for talking with me. I can't wait.